Genesis chapter 8. Several months ago, I wrote an article about the compare and contrasting sheep and goats, and it seemed to be very well received. And so there might be an article coming between the raven and the dove. I did most of the laid work already, so hope the Lord will give that to me for this weekend. We've been going through Genesis, and we've seen that ark. It's just been brought through the wrath of God, His justice, His judgment. And it was lifted up on those floodwaters. And if you could see the waters, that was possible. The higher the waters went, the more exalted that ark was. God will show us what we are. The waters that we earned, the wrath and judgment that we've earned, as we see that growing, as we're grown down, that's how man grows. I can't put it no plainer than that. Unless I got a hold of somebody just shook them. We grow down. And if we see ourselves and what I earned and what I deserve today, much less 41 years leading up to now, I see Him, His blood sacrifice He played for me, more exalted, more lifted up. He must increase and I must decrease. God's going to do a work in us. That's how it's going to go. All of Noah and his family, all those animals, all those fowl, all those creeping things, everything that was in that ark, the Lord shut them in. He drew them in there. He shut them in and He sealed it with pitch. It was waterproof. It's a picture of Christ's atoning blood for those in Him. His blood covering our sins, making it whiter than the snow. How could blood make something whiter than snow? He said so. I believe Him. He said, I've removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. Boy, I can't ever get over that. You go north far enough, you hit the North Pole, and as soon as you take one step, you're going south. You go east, and you keep going east, and you ain't started going west yet. It's infinite. It doesn't touch. That's how far they've been removed. And we're protected by that blood from those waters of judgment. Those that He's died for, they ain't one molecule of H2O going to get through it. It ain't going to touch you. The ark absorbed it all. The only thing that made a difference between Noah and the rest of the world, everybody else, millions, was that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God was gracious to 8 people, Noah and his family. And everyone else perished under the wrath of God. The only thing that distinguishes is God's grace. His grace. That ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. There in Turkey. And it says there in Genesis 8, verse 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened up the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro, until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Something else goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, doesn't it? That raven never came back to the ark. It didn't come back to the ark. Some old writers say it rested on the outside of the ark. It might have sat on top or sat on the sides or something. But I thought about this a good bit this week. You imagine all those waters. And it wasn't like the Bahamian shelf in spring. This wasn't Grand Bahama. It wasn't clear, blue, lovely lagoons. There was nothing but carcasses floating. Millions of dead, bloated carcasses floating in that water. Debris from people's homes floating in that water. Stinking things. Debris. Look like those videos, that tsunami you can watch in Japan. It's just carnage. Carnage. Those ravens, they feed on flesh. Dead flesh. When it left that boat, I don't want to dwell on the raven too long tonight. We're going to look at the dove. But we need to know something about the raven. When that raven left, it eats dead flesh. And it had plenty to eat. It could eat anywhere. Well, I could take a little bit of good stuff from here, and I could take a little bit of good stuff from there. It was fine. It didn't need that ark, and it was happy to get out of that ark. It was free from the ark. Just right as rain. I'm a bird. Flap, flap. Thought it was just fine. Raven is where we get the word ravenous. Ravenous. That means hungry. Never satisfied. This doesn't really apply. I just thought it was nice. You know what you call a flock of ravens? A murder. A murder. That's all they look for is death. An easy meal. And they can eat anything. Our Lord told us, this is speaking of the man by nature. Man's religion. Self-righteousness by nature. Our Lord said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ravenous wolves. They consume everything they can. They can't get enough. And they can eat anything. Speaking of those false prophets, Isaiah wrote, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They can't bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs. That's the same word. Ravenous dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own quarter. They look out for self. Raven, die of those outside of Christ. And they're happy about it. That death that's outside of him, that's what they feast on. In verse 8 it says, and also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. Brother Darvin Pruitt preached a wonderful message from this about 11 years ago. Go listen to it. It's a blessing to you. Be a blessing to you. But I want to look tonight just at this dove. Just at the dove. You imagine Noah standing there in that only window, and him seeing that dove he'd released come back to him, and he reaches his hand out, and that dove lights on him, and he pulls it into the ark. In the Scriptures, the Holy Ghost is described as a dove. When our Lord was baptized, there in Matthew 3 it says, he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. Back in Genesis 1:2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost moved upon the waters. You know what that word moved means? It brooded. Some of y'all's kept chickens. What's a broody hen do? It sets on eggs, don't it? That dove brooded on the waters. Moved on the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This dove is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God who speaks and brings life to the soul. Comes to God's children and speaks to them in power. Convinces them of their sin. Singular. What's the singular fiber of our being? And he convicts us of Christ's righteousness. He preaches us low in Christ's eye. That's the only one he talks of. People, I got accused of not having the Holy Ghost. And I said, why is that? You don't ever bring it up. I said, well, if he comes, he's going to tell you of Christ. Somebody talks about the Holy Ghost all the time. They ain't got it. They don't know nothing about it. They're unknown. They're dogs. They can't bark and they're ravenous. But this dove's also a picture of the believer who's been born again by that Spirit, who has a Spirit of God in him. A sinner that was dead in sin but was given life, was quickened. This is a picture of us. Picture of God's people. What a thought. I say things sometimes, and if I can just grasp slowly, one sentence at a time. God has given His people a divine Spirit. A holy nature. I chew on that for 2 or 3 years. Well, I got plenty to eat on, don't I? Not of flesh and blood, not of the will of men, but born of the Spirit. When you think of a dove, okay, I want to look at several points of doves, just facts on them. When you think of a dove, you think of a small, timid bird, don't you? It don't make a lot of noise. Magicians hide them in their pockets for a whole magic show, and they pull it out the end, you didn't even know it was there. Just a quiet little bird. Peter described this. But this meek spirit of a believer, a timid spirit. He says, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. Great price. That's the work of the Spirit. Paul told us that in Galatians 5. He said, the fruit of the Spirit, here's what this produces. This dove that lights on men and women, as God directs, as He commands, as His will is accomplished. They come to them. You're born of the Spirit. Born anew. Here's what it produces. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. There's like a little dove. Temperance. And against such there is no law. There ain't no cats on it. You want to love, go out and love all you want. You want to be long-suffering, you go suffer as long as you want. Have at it. People say, I want to serve God. Here's your chance. Go for it. Our Lord spoke and He said, how be it when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. What's that Spirit going to teach us? What's He going to show us? That dove that lights on men and women. Paul wrote the church at Philippi, he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of Himself no reputation. Took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Almighty God became a man. What condescension. And being found in fashion of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want to be as meek as a dove. We are taught the meekness of the dove. That's what the Holy Spirit comes to us and teaches us. Makes us like Him. Like Christ. And Him and the Father and the Spirit are one, aren't they? Three in one. Because we're given this earnest of our inheritance. That's what the Spirit's called. Paul tells us that in Ephesians 1. We cannot find peace, just like this dove and ark. We can't find peace. We can't find comfort in this world. It ain't possible. It ain't possible. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. There's a new nature in you if you're the Lord's. If you ain't, you're a raven, and you go squawk, squawk, and flap, flap, just like another bird, look just like a dove, but you need anything. That dove found no rest. That new man, that new dove in us, it groans. It gets weary. Gets weary like a little tiny bird flying over a massive. That's not a seabird. That's a land bird flying over open water. It gets tired and weary and it groans. Paul wrote to us in Romans 8, he said, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we have the Spirit. The Lord's done a work in us. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I'm waiting for this life to be over. I'm looking for Him. And we don't know how to pray when we get like that. Most people find that as an insult. You don't know how to pray. Paul said he didn't know how to pray. That man labored more than them all. More abundantly than all. Well, what am I supposed to do then? We're just babies. We're babies in Christ. The most grown man in Christ ever walked this earth is a baby in Christ. We're children. It says in Romans 8:26, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Boy, aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful somebody provided for that poor little meek dove? Doves are meek and humble creatures. They're not peacocks. They don't have long tail feathers and strut around and show their pretty colors and let everybody see them. They just fly around. A dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She groaned, she travailed, and she returned to the ark. She returned to Christ her rest. The only place you will ever find rest is in that ark. Not outside of it. Everything outside of the ark is dead. Everything outside the ark, it's rotting. It's bloating. Stinketh. It's been dead more than 3 days. It's more than stinketh. It's exploding. There's no food out there to sustain you. There's no comfort out there, and there's no rest. Christ, that ark. That's what we've been looking at, isn't it? There's no rest outside that ark for that dove. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek. I'm meek. I'm lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Boy, this ain't a cat nap. That's soul rest. soul rest. That's peace. Your soul, apart from Christ, is in unrest. Those outside of Christ, their soul is at unrest. Now, they may dope it up and dull it down with the drugs of this world. Power, fame, video games, attention, whatever. But your soul is at unrest, and you know it. You know, I ain't got a magic ball, and I can go up to anybody, and I can say, I know your soul's unrest if you're outside of Christ. There's no rest for it. Only the Lord can give you that rest, not this world, not the dead flesh, not that dying religion that all that stuff represents. Only Him. Only Him. He's the only rest we have. I saw that dove flying around, seeing a log floating. And she probably went and thought, well, I could land on that. It ain't water. And it was bobbing, and she's coming into land, and that thing's moving. There's no foundation to it. It's just rolling and bobbing in the water. I got to keep flying. I can't rest there. There ain't no rest here. I'm not equipped for this. David told us in Psalm 116, he said, return unto thy rest, O soul. He's praying for his soul. He said, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. There's a stocked full ark right there. Get to it. Get to it, is what he said. He said in Psalm 55, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Only the Lord's people desire to be with the Lord. I don't expedite the process. I'm not looking forward to that, whatever kind of waters in that Jordan for me. But the day for the Lord to come, we're in the last days. He said this generation ain't going to die until He comes. I don't know when it is. A fool looks for it. A charlatan looks for it. Because he said no man can know. But we look. We expect Him. We have a hope. Lord, come today. What if He come tonight? Buddy. Wouldn't that be something? What if He took me home tonight? I'd hate that for my family. And I'd grieve. On this earth I would. I feel like the Lord still has something to do. I hate it for you. But I could be with Him. I could be with Him. We look for His return. That's the Spirit of the Lord in you. When you want to be with Him. If I could, I'd fly to my rest, Christ, right now. If I had the wings of a dove. There's no comfort and rest here. I was able to enter in. Turn over to Romans 8. We've read this so many times, but boy, it's just a good look at. Romans 8, verse 1. In Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, not after this world, not after our desires, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That raven can't take its eyes off of what it desires. It minds the world. It minds religion. It minds titles. It minds the high seats in the synagogues and the fancy garments. And look at me. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We're going to put you in a Greek toga. You're going to live in a tent and we're going to give you Christ. That's great. If we get to eat every now and then, that'd be wonderful. Let me be with Him. I mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded. That's where we get that word care in, too. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace, rest. Life and rest. Life and peace. In that ark, in Christ, it dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what it's pictured. When you think about Him walking with those on the road to Emmaus. And it says He opened the Scriptures and He told of Himself throughout the Scriptures. Well, boy, we're pretty early on in Genesis and that's a long walk. You imagine hearing the Master preach Himself in the ark? Oh, what a message. What a sermon. That ark dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him. In Him, you're complete. We know that, don't we? God's people know that. They ain't looking for something else to add on. You don't need nothing else. I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in understanding. I want to grow in love. I want to grow in those fruits of the Spirit. But what is needed for me to be in the presence of a holy God? Nothing. Christ isn't. There's rest in that. That's our rest. That's our comfort. Not in self, but in Him. A dove feeds on seeds and green things. It eats fresh grass, leaves and things, and eats a lot of seeds. That's its nature. That's its nature to eat those things. That raven was sent out and it didn't come back because they can eat anything. They eat roadkill, rotting flesh. And that smell that it eats, it doesn't offend it. It smells like dinner. Something good's cooking. I can eat over there. That dove couldn't eat those things. Dove couldn't tolerate it. It had no appetite for those things. Same as the children of God, they feed on Christ. The Scriptures tell us we must eat His flesh and drink His blood. That's our only source of life, Him. That's our only source of satisfaction. What can fulfill me? What can give me hope? Feeding on Him. It's Him or nothing. We don't have an appetite for anything else. We're offended by all else but Him. And we rejoice in Him. He's our only food. He's our only hope. The Lord offended those folks there in John 6. And it says, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Just like that raven. They left and they didn't come back because they got something else to sustain them. They left and didn't come back. And Jesus said to the 12, will you go away also? You going to stay gone, dove? And Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There's no life apart from Him. That dove knew that too about that ark, didn't it? When it got so far out and it got tired, there wasn't enough to hit beat wings, right back to that ark. Everything that dove needed was in the ark. For the believer, everything that you need are in Christ. Everything. We aren't going to eat the things of this world. We're not going to be filled up by the things of this world. We're not going to be comforted, have a warm tummy. It's going to be in that ark. It's going to be in Him. Doves like to be close to spring waters, fresh water sources, not the waters of judgment. They're not a seabird. They can't drink salt water. They can't drink corrupt water. They're a little tiny bird. They're small. They can't handle much. Got to have clean water. Psalm 46 says, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Christ is that well of life. He's that living fountain. That's what they have to have. Doves are monogamous. They mate for life. When they have a little dove husband and a dove wife, they don't depart from each other. And when they don't have one of them close, when they lose sight of their mate, or they lose their mate, they mourn. A little tiny bird mourns. You know that? There's somebody that's got a grant somewhere for more money than I've ever made in my life to go study that. But doves mourn the loss of their mate. You consider that. Noah sent this dove out. If he sent it out, where's its mate? It's in the ark, isn't it? It's in the ark. That's where her husbandman is. Christ is our husband. He's our head. He's the head of our house, the head of our body. And when we aren't near Him, when His people aren't near Him, we grieve, we mourn, and we desire to be with Him. There's times I feel like the Lord hasn't spoken to me in a long time, and I mourn. I want to hear Him. I want to hear my Lord. Revelation 2 says, do the first works. Remember your first love. He's your first love. We want to get back to that, don't we? That's what we do every week here. We go into the world. We fly out. And our hearts, they find no rest. And we mourn. And we return to the preaching of the Word. And we return to the assembling of the saints. That's what we need. Hezekiah said there in Isaiah 38, I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. So I can't look up. Oh Lord, I'm oppressed. I can't even look up. I can't find You, Lord. I mourn just like a dove lost its mate. Undertake for me. Do the work for me. Keep me. When a child of God doesn't feel the presence of the Lord, we mourn. And He's always with us. He said, lo, I am with you always. But we don't see it. We don't know it. We can't perceive it. We can't understand it. We can't get a hold of it. That's what David told us in Psalm 77. He said, is His mercy clinging on forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercy? Selah. Oh, I'm thinking about that. Pause on it. I think He's left me. And then David said, and I said, this is my infirmity. He ain't going nowhere. His promises haven't changed. He's got to change or not. Well, what's the problem? Problem's with me. How? What? I do you young folks good? You grow up in the world and you think everybody in the world's got a problem but you. Well, the problem might just be you. That's offensive, isn't it? That'd do you some good. Keep you employed. David said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Lord, you haven't changed. You've kept your people from old. You're keeping them today. And I'm a fool for not thinking you'll keep them if you're pleased to have us tomorrow. When you're away from Him, your one desire is to be with Him. And doves are monogamous, and doves are like sheep. They like to be in groups of other doves. Doves don't congregate with every kind of bird. They're not out there with woodpeckers and peacocks and cockatoos and everything else. They like to be with doves. Isaiah said, "What? Who are these that fly as a cloud?" You ever seen birds flying and it looks like one big bird? It looks like a swarm of fish, doesn't it? The Lord brought them from the ocean, so He knows what He's doing. But it looks like a school of fish going, and it's a bunch of birds. Isaiah said, who are these that fly as a cloud, as the doves to their windows? They stay together. Ravens, they're unclean fowl. Doves are clean. And they're put in those ark, two of every unclean animal and seven of every clean animal. They had friends in that ark. There's a group of doves in there. There's 14 of them. Noah's dove had found no fellowship in the dead world she was flying over. She didn't find any fellowship with those ravens that stayed out there with her. That was feasting on dead bodies. They didn't hang out and spend the night and congregate. And we're going fellowship. There ain't no fellows in the same ship. You left the ship. You won't have nothing to do with the ship. Saying we're fellows in the same. Well, I tell you what, that gets my blood boiling sometimes. I'll reel it in. She longed for the fellowship she had in that ark. The fellows in the same ship. That's what she wanted to get to. Last year we couldn't meet and we had live stream. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm tickled to death. That was good for us. It hurt. It was painful. And we had learned some trials through it. We learned some things through those trials. But I'm thankful for it because it revealed my heart's desire was to be with God's people. I wanted to be with those that love Him. I can't hug a TV set. I can't hug an app on an iPhone. I come up and hug you. I can shake your hand. I can pet you little ones on top of the head when you walk by. I can see that. I'm a dove. I like to be around other doves. That's good. That's needed. Just like sheep want to be with sheep, doves want to be with doves, and children of God want to be around other children of God. He's knit our hearts together. That's what unites us. That's what gives us that singular heart we looked at this morning, is a love for Him. Love for Him. That spirit that landed on us, same spirit, one spirit. That faith we have, it's one faith, it's His faith. That husbandman we have, same husband. What about His kindness? Is He better than you to me? Same love. Same love, isn't it? You can't substitute being in service with listening online. You can't substitute being in service listening to a tape or watching a video. And I'm an auditory learner. I hear things. That's how I learn. And a video works best for me. You think I do better listening, but a video works best because it's closer to reality. But the only thing it'll do, that's like fast food. You eat enough of it, you die. You starve to death. Or you'll be stunted in growth and you won't grow none. But be with His people. Hebrew writer said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That doesn't mean teaching and henpeckings. You know that? You know what exhorting means? Calling near. Come. Come on. I missed you. And so much more as you see the day approaching. That day's approaching. Mine's 41 years closer than it used to be. It might be tomorrow, but you know, as my grandpa said, it won't be as long as it has been. Either you look through eternity past or the span of my life, it ain't going to be as long as it has been. And that's not just about going to church, forsaking the assembly of the saints. It's about fellowship with the Lord's people. People go to church all the time. Guy stopped me at the gas station and said, "You coming from church? How was church?" Didn't know what to answer. I ain't coming from there. I'm going there. And it ain't a building. It's a people. It's God abiding in a people. And then people getting together and lifting Him up, wanting to hear from Him and exalt Him and love Him and love His people and thank Him. And it's a God, not a God. It's the God. Not man's vain imagination. That raven, it can settle down and rest anywhere. Not a believer. They cannot do anything without the love of their Lord. We're love sick. Go read Solomon. Song of Solomon 2:5 says, "I'm sick with love." That means I'm love sick. Heartbroke. First love. I'm in love. And the closest thing we can be to our Lord in this earth, I can't be with Him. I can't see Him. I can't hug Him. I can't touch Him. But it's to be with each other. To be with His people. You want to feel forgiveness. I want to feel forgiveness. I got a lot that needs to be forgiven. I need to be around the people who have been forgiven. I want to be around no condemnation. I can't stand somebody judging me. Some of y'all that way. You got people judging you? I don't like it. I need to be with the Lord's people who have no condemnation. All their judgment's been taken away. That's a comforting people. You don't get in a bragging match about sin, but I have faults. I don't mind you seeing them. Because your faults have been forgiven, ain't they? I don't mind telling you it like it is. What's going to do? Base me? Good. Good. Look at Him. Look what He did for us. I'm nothing. He saved me anyway. A wretch like me. You want to be covered? You want to be covered? Your nakedness covered? Be with Him. You want to have someone that's long-suffering and bear your burdens? The best place to be is somebody that's experienced it. A person that ain't had their burdens before can't bear your burdens. A person that the Lord ain't been long-suffering with can't suffer long with you. There's no faking it. Some can learn the right words for a season. And that season can be very long. It can be a long season. They can get a little checklist in their head. And they know just the right things to say. And they know just what they ought to say. Well, this is what everybody else says. And I know this stuff. And they've learned it. But you can't fake it. It'll come out sooner or later. If there's a wolf in sheep's clothing, them clothes are going to wear out sooner or later. And that natural fur is going to come out. You can tell the difference. In 1 Corinthians 13 it says, charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. It envies not. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love, charity, never faileth. Man's love will fail. What man calls love is going to give up. It's going to wear out. It's going to run thin, and it'll be like that raven. Finally, that raven may stay in that ark a long time, sitting there on a windowsill, and one day it's going to get mad. It's had enough, and it's going to take off, and ain't coming back. God's love that He puts in the heart of His people, it don't fail. That may not be the prettiest thing on earth. We still got an old man with us. That old man don't know nothing about this. There's a war going on. But that new man in us, it knows how to love. How could this be? The love of God was inside of that ark. And those in it know His love. Those He's revealed Himself to. They see what a wretch they are, what they deserve. And they see that they're in Him. They see they're safe. They can't see the outside of the ark. They don't understand what all the waves are. They don't know how many rooms are inside that ark. They don't even know what level of the ark they're on. They know they're in it. They've seen the blood. And they know His love. It was love that did it. Doves are often attacked by bigger birds. And their only defense, I love this, was to fly away. It ain't got big claws like the raven and the eagles. It ain't got a big sharp beak. Its only thing is this skedaddle. That's its defense. Run. Flee. That raven probably went after that dove. A lot of other birds pick on them. That would have been a fresh meal for it, wouldn't it? Oh, right there, I like dead meat. Right there's one still warm. That'd be a warm meal. And it could devour that dove. And its only hope The only hope that dove had was to fly as hard and as fast as it could to the ark. When that dove got to the ark, she had her own dove coat. I spent a lot of time researching doves the last couple of days. That means a dove house. They got their own name. I thought, isn't that special? Your house has its own name. The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's specific. Her person. And she had food. She had warmth. She had shelter. She had protection. And she didn't have to worry about anything. She just had to flee to the ark. And all was well. There was rest for her foot in that ark. And all provisions. David said, mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me. O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust thee. That dove flew to the ark. Knowing it was scared to death. Knowing as soon as I get to that ark, I can trust it. I trust that ark. And it was flying to it. You put that ark. You put in that ark. You put in Christ. If we're in there, if we're in Him, if we're put in Him, what do we have to be afraid of? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Our old man's scared to death of everything. It's a nervous Nelly. And it can't do nothing but fret and worry and pop its knuckles. It's just, what about this? Yeah, but we got to be aware of that. You ain't got nothing to be afraid of if you're in Him. This world, the ravens are buzzing around and they're full of fear. You make a shocking and a fearful headline in the news or online or whatever these things are, and people are going to click on it, they're going to download it, they're going to watch it, they're going to do anything. Oh, what's that? Well, maybe I ought to watch it. If you're at Him, there's nothing to be afraid of. But He says, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust thee. There's going to be times we're afraid. We ought not fear, but we're going to be afraid. We're going to be scared at times. But it's not without hope as the hopeless. We trust Him. We trust Him. Every time I get afraid, do I trust the Lord? Is He worthy of trusting? Well, you bet He is. He laid down His life for me. I'm His. I'm all right. Now give me 5 minutes. I might be afraid again. I look forward to that's why we look forward to this life being over, be with Him. That body of death being gone. That fear being gone. Seeing Him as He is. That dove flew as hard and as fast as it could, and it grabbed for Noah's outstretched arm. Here it come. Oh, I had a finger out. That little bird landed on it. First thing I thought of was whenever Peter wanted to walk on the water. The Lord bid me come to you. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, same as David was. He saw them ravens flying around. That's his wind, wasn't it? He's scared to death. And he began to sink and he cried, Lord, save me. Just like David did this morning. Help, Lord. Save me. Save, Lord. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. He didn't wait. He didn't have to check some boxes and accomplish some things. Well, you know, you've got to grow a little bit more, Peter. He immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Run to him. That's what I'm getting at. Fly to him, flap your wings as hard as you can. It's life and death. Run to him. Doves are harmless. Our Lord said, behold, I send you forth. He was equipping his ministers to go out. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. You get some scratches on you. That's just fine. He'll be with you. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. I got the serpent part down pat. I can cut with the best of them. I got sharp fangs. And harmless as doves. Be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves. A dove's harmless. The Spirit of God makes a person harmless, makes them gentle. And the Spirit of God is not mean. That's why it's made harmless. That's why it's made gentle. He's not a mean spirit. You know who some of the meanest, backbiting people on earth are? Ravenous, religious ravens. Religious ravens. The self-righteous. They think they've done something to earn God's favor. And no, cut you down the heartbeat. The very ones that profess to be so godly and to be so hunky-dory all the time. And boy, I know something. They're the same ones. I mean, they'll cut your heart out. They'd kill you if they could. You go to a big mansion on a hill. We know it's worldly-wise. Worldly-wise, we understand that. This proves that. You go to a big mansion on a hill and you say, I'm starving to death. Can I have a sandwich? You're going to get booted. Get out of here. You know, Sam, get a job. Kick at you, won't they? You find a homeless man downtown, and he says, buddy, I'm starving to death. And he says, I only got one slice of bread, but you can have half of it. It proves over and over, don't it? One thing, they've earned something. One's still holding on to something. The meanest snakes you ever met in your life ain't harmless. The Spirit of God makes a person a peacemaker, not a warmonger. James told us that. He said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Be peaceful. There's a stiff-necked and backbiting generation, buddy. I do everything I can to be harmless and not just lash out like a serpent. But that Spirit of God is a peaceful spirit. You can't fake it. Doves and pigeons, they're related. I didn't look it up, and I don't remember all to genus and species and all those things. They're cousins. They're about the same thing. Doves and pigeons. But I remember them homing pigeons. I think they're extinct now. They sent them out using World War II even. Homing pigeons, they remember where they're born, and that's where they fly back to. Just like a salmon going upstream. Wherever that thing was born, that's where it goes home to. That's where it goes back to. When you're born of God, if you're His, that spirit of the doves landed on you and gave you life, and you come into trouble, you come into trial, you come into heavy burden. Burden. Not a discomfort. Discomfort too, but I mean, you just pinch down. You get chased by ravens. You may fly in circles for a little bit. You may zigzag. May not be in a straight line, but you will fly to Him. You will fly to Him. And if you're weary, if you have no rest, fly to Him now. Fly to Him now. Our souls will not find rest until it rests in our God. There's nowhere else that has rest. Rest can't be found anywhere else but in Him. Come to Him. Run to Him. Land on Him. Cry out to Him to save you. And just like Peter, immediately His arm be outstretched. Same as Noah. Same as that bird landed on him. Amen.